Hello, and welcome to the Performance Marketing Spotlight. I'm your host, Marshall Nyman, founder and CEO of Nymo & Co. Each episode, I will be bringing you someone with deep experience in the performance marketing space, where they will highlight their experiences within the industry. Today, I have Jackie Goldstein, who is VP of Commerce at New York Post. Welcome to the podcast, Jackie.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Excited to have you on. Let's get right to it. Would love for you to introduce yourself to the audience.
All right. I am Jackie Goldstein, as was previously established. I am based in New York City, and I'm currently the Vice President of Commerce for the New York Post. So I work with the New York Post, Page Six, and Decider.com as well. And I've been in the space at with commerce at publishers for probably a little over a decade at this point. I've sort of lost track because some of the early moments are a bit murky, but it's been a great ride so far. Excited to keep learning as things, you know, are changing and innovating. And yeah, outside of my day job, I think a lot of people actually, or not a lot, but some people know I am very passionate about horror movies and help run a horror film festival called the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival. So always like to promote that when I can, just in case anyone comes out of the woodwork and wants to sponsor the festival or attend or is secretly a horror lover and I can just chat about what movies we've seen.
That sounds like a good time. Well, would love for you to share with us how you got your start in 2012 with Curb as their editorial operations manager.
Absolutely. So my time at Curb Network was very, very exciting. I joined the company actually from an internship. So I was hired and I actually did start as an editorial assistant, but then was quickly promoted a couple of months later. And basically Curb Network was very small. So we had three websites that we were operating, but we also had local versions of each website. So Eater is still around, still quite popular. Many local Eater websites exist too. And then we also had Curbed, which is still sort of operating under the New York Magazine umbrella now, and then Racked, which rest in peace, but still many fans out there. And basically, I was, you know, in my editorial operations focus, really kind of doing all sorts of things, like basically anything that was not straight up writing, even though I did a little bit of that sometimes as it was necessary. And then, you know, I was not focused on straight up sales either. So I really found myself doing a lot of work focused on formatting, product, optimizing the sites. I helped with our syndication partnerships, a bunch of random partnerships got, you know, put on my plate. I was working really closely with the CEO. And so basically things that like he had on his plate that he felt comfortable passing to me, that happened. And it was an amazing, amazing experience because I was able to really learn so much about publisher operations, business, you know, kind of all the pieces of how the sausage gets made. And, you know, really, really valuable experience just to have, especially early in my career, to really kind of see like all these different pieces and, you know, sort of have the freedom, I think, especially within a startup to, you know, lean in a little bit more in certain areas I was a little bit more interested in. And then in, what was it? I think like late 2013. So, you know, just a few years at Curb Network, we were acquired by Vox Media. So, you know, that transition was, it ended up being amazing. It was definitely a little rocky in the beginning, as I'm sure others who have been part of an acquisition can maybe speak to. But with me, you know, basically joining a much larger organization where I was coming from this role where I was kind of just like doing little bits of everything. My role just didn't exist. I luckily got to stick around and, you know, find my footing. And really what I was sort of figuring out, because, you know, sort of unfortunately, my boss was kind of in the same position, really kind of figuring out his own new role. And, you know, I felt a little bit, abandoned is way too intense of a word, but, you know, I was kind of just trying to figure it out a little bit on my own. So basically what I ended up doing was really just like finding opportunities where people were not already owning initiatives or pieces of initiatives. And what I basically quickly discovered from, you know, a month or two of just like observing and absorbing was there was a lot of podcasting going on, but, you know, no real thoughtfulness around it. Like, we didn't have, you know, some of the podcasts were like hosted on SoundCloud, others on more professional podcasting platforms. There was a lot of just like chaos, and none of them were really being monetized. So that was like the huge thing. And like all of our editors and chiefs were spending like hours doing these podcasts weekly. So, you know, that was a great project for me to kind of take on. And then at the same time, commerce, you know, basically we had, like many publishers, a Skimlinks auto tagging script in the background and a relationship with Amazon Associates. But, you know, it was very passive and, you know, starting to, you know, understand, take a closer look at the types of content that our websites within the portfolio were doing. And also looking at the data we had available to us, you know, starting to, you know, work with the teams to really start to set up that business. And, you know, both basically were kind of, you know, focused around setting up operations and setting up revenue generation and, you know, figuring out how to make the most out of these. And once they both sort of scaled to the seven-figure mark, that was basically when I ended up full-time aligning with commerce. I was able to do a little bit of hiring at the time. And yeah, from there, just kind of rocking and rolling, building the business, expanding relationships, expanding, you know, hiring more writers to lean in. You know, we're really focused on the websites within the portfolio, The Verge, Polygon, SB Nation, we were doing a bit with as well, and Curbed, and also a little bit Eater. So kind of, you know, most of the sites.
So you had quite the run there with Curbed and then getting integrated into Vox and kind of figuring out which direction you should head in. So then you ultimately switched over to New York Post. You know, you were at Curb for a couple years, at Vox for about 5 years. So 7 or 8 years for one company, pretty good run. What made you want to make the change to New York Post?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I was very happy at Vox, but it was kind of like, I was just sort of feeling that itch. Like I had been there, you know, over 5 years. I think I almost hit six. And I think I was just sort of starting to feel curious about, you know, other opportunities. I think also, you know, candidly at the time, Vox was not, you know, I think commerce was a little bit more of like a B priority than an A. They had a lot of interesting initiatives going on at the time, especially focused on revenue diversification. They were working on licensing the CMS. They were working on licensing, you know, ad formats. They were leaning into events. They were leaning into, you know, different licensed Hollywood projects. They were, you know, on the entertainment side, podcasts continued to be big. So there was a lot going on in addition to kind of the core advertising business too. And, you know, commerce was, like I said, a little bit more of a B, and I was aware that it could be an A, and there were many publishers that were really, really leaning in and really ready to lean in further. And, the Post opportunity kind of fell a little bit into my lap. There was like a LinkedIn DM that I was like, you know, this is interesting. I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up in Manhattan, and I was like, okay, this is my hometown paper. I mean, I definitely grew up in a house that had both the Post and the Times in it every day, delivered. But, you know, I've had so much love for the Post over the years, just from, you know, growing up in the city and, you know, seeing kind of how it's really transformed too over the years to being really like a local newspaper to a digital juggernaut with national reach. You know, that was actually one of the first things I noticed when I joined the Post from Vox, was just the huge increase in traffic that I was able to play with, basically. And granted, this was before some of the other acquisitions that Vox has made since with New York Magazine and Group Nine. So, you know, I don't know if that traffic pattern still matches and makes sense, but at the time, you know, that was something I was really excited about as well. And the post, okay. I know, you know, there was also just about a year before I joined, some leadership change up. So the chief revenue officer moved into the CEO position, and his whole focus initially, you know, from sort of entering that seat was around revenue diversification. So it was an amazing opportunity to join the company when it was, you know, commerce at publishers for anyone in that space or people near it. One thing that I've always kind of commented on is, you know, I think publications almost inherently don't want to be monetized in a lot of ways, shapes, and forms. And when you're building commerce, especially from the ground up, you really need to do a lot of internal negotiations to get teams comfortable with integrating affiliate links throughout the site and throughout, you know, sort of extensions of the site, off platform, social, et cetera. And different publishers have different, you know, thresholds, I guess, of, you know, what levels you can do. You know, are you doing commerce? Are you including affiliate links on, you know, purely shopping content, which is sort of squared off in its own little area of the site? Or, you know, are you doing a bigger integration? What does that look like? What is everyone comfortable with? How do we kind of set this up? So, you know, I think that, like, at my core, I love operations. I love process. I love setting up process. I love kind of like the metaphor I like to describe with this business building in particular is like, you know, opening a door, a crack, and then like allowing it to open further as you kind of show your partners internally, you know, performance. And I think that's one of the things that's great is like, you are literally seeing reactions from your readers, you know, in close to real time, depending on what network we're talking about here. But, you know, I think that that can be so powerful. And I think that, you know, being able to showcase that is also something that is able to, you know, really help scale, especially a new initiative like it was at the Post when I joined almost 5 years ago, which is,
wow.
I know, I don't understand where the time has gone.
So what should brands or agencies take into consideration when looking to work with the New York Post?
I think that when looking to work at the Post, I always appreciate when it's clearer that a brand or an agency is familiar with what we're doing. I think that there is definitely a lot of pitches our whole team receives that are, you know, a little bit like spray and pray, if you will, where, you know, they don't necessarily pay attention. And I actually was a publicist. I started my career, you know, right out of college as a restaurant publicist. It was a very fun time, but also very wild and crazy. when you're a junior publicist, you have too many bosses. And, you know, I know there's been this convergence of PR and affiliate. And I think that like a lot of the things that publicists have been doing this whole time are kind of similar. And I think, you know, in addition to publicists sort of sharpening some of their skills from the affiliate side and starting to include some baseline information, like, you know, but even just CPA and network availability, I think that there's also the sort of flip that can be happening where affiliate folks can take some cues from the PR side, you know, with some of the thoughtfulness a little bit more around like the content, what it looks like. But anyway, I was going to say though, I totally understand there's like a million publishers doing this now, so it's hard to keep tabs on everyone. I will give a little tip. The way that I did it when I was a little junior publicist was my team divided and conquered. You know, we were focused on restaurants, as I mentioned. So I literally was looking at Grub Street and Eater every day. Someone else on the team was looking at Bon Appetit and Food and Wine every day. Someone else on the team was looking at, you know, whatever others, Gourmet, Savour, you know, Zagat was publishing at the time. I don't even think Infatuation existed. But anyway, so, you know, there are ways to do it. But back to the main question. I think that for brands, agencies, PR to engage successfully with New York Post Shopping, you know, definitely try to get a little bit of a sense of what we do. You know, we lean into a lot of the same types of angles that you see most commonly on other publishers. You know, we're focused on sales, we're focused on best of lists, reviews, we love trends. We being a, you know, more sort of mass general news site, we do take the liberty of leaning into many different types of product categories. There are some, though, that we are not as strong in and haven't leaned as much into, at least yet. So, you know, I think having some awareness of that, we're really, I would say, pretty lifestyle focused, but we're excited about tech. I think that tech is one where we have so much room to grow. So, you know, really excited about building more of those types of partnerships, you know, just as one example. But I think that, like, you know, sort of familiarity with us. And the other thing that is a little bit fun about the Post is we are, how do I phrase this in the best way? We like to, you know, we're not afraid of maybe being a little bit sensational. We are, you know, in our DNA, a tabloid, and we are known for our headlines. Our most famous headline probably is "Headless Body in a Topless Bar." So we're not shy. We're not, you know, afraid of being a little out there and silly. You know, one of my favorite success stories, just because I think it's so hilarious, was like, this was probably winter 2019 or 2020. There was a controversy where Walmart was called out because they had this like sweater. It was a holiday sweater and it was Santa Claus and it looked like he was doing cocaine. And so it ended up being pulled from Walmart. I think it was like on sale at like Walmart Canada, but the internet saw it and people, you know, were talking about it. And the Post came up with such a fun commerce angle on it. Basically, we noticed after it was pulled from Walmart, it was a top seller on Amazon. And so that was one of our top selling products that we saw in December that year. And, you know, we are not afraid of leaning into something like Cocaine Santa. So, you know, definitely, I think for brands, you know we like to have fun, know a little bit about us. And, you know, we'd love to try to make something work.
I think people always enjoy glancing at the front page and the back page to see what it has to say. I know whenever I walk by the newsstand, I couldn't help but take a look.
For sure.
So with that, what has been your favorite part of working at the New York Post?
I think that there, one of the things that I always kind of go to for this type of question, actually, because we've been fortunate enough to do some hiring over the years. And, you know, I definitely get asked this a lot by candidates who are, you know, interested in trying to work at the Post with us on our team. But I am amazed at how much the staff is excited to help with the commerce initiative from other teams. That's definitely something that feels, you know, I think all teams have their own goals, their own projects they're focusing on and prioritizing. And, you know, commerce, we've been doing this, as I mentioned, for about 5 years now at the Post, but there's still so much we're building and so many new things we want to dabble with. And we've just felt that, you know, the sort of openness of this initiative and kind of willingness to get involved and help brainstorm and, you know, kind of think about problem solving together has been just remarkable and really a nice work experience.
What are some of the major challenges you're seeing as a content publisher?
I think that one of the things that's causing a lot of stress now for content publishers is some of the changes in referral traffic that folks have been seeing, mainly around Google and Meta, but, you know, there might be some other spaces too. And, you know, I think that that's been probably one of our biggest focuses over the past couple of months, I would say, and will continue to be, really just kind of finding new spaces to lean into and to, you know, adjust to some of these sort of changing guardrails, I guess you can call them, on the search side. You know, we still lean into search. We still believe that search provides a great high intent audience. We want to show up, but, you know, I think that navigating those changes while also kind of sharpening some other skills or, you know, referral tactic, distribution tactics has been, you know, sort of a challenge and a, you know, and an opportunity, but, that's definitely kind of been a big one at the moment.
Any predictions on the future of performance marketing or where commerce content is maybe headed?
Such a good question. And I wish I had like some better predictions. but, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see a little bit more around, you know, as some of these changes with referrals go on, as, you know, influencer marketing comes in, as ambassadors come in, you know, kind of the whole landscape of, you know, recommendations, I guess, you know, and really just tracking that, tracking the players, seeing if, you know, there are differences in how things are working. You know, for example, like as a publisher, I've always felt distinct from coupon sites. And so I've always assumed that, and actually I should have this conversation with someone on the brand side or agency side. I've always sort of assumed there, you know, are different ways of working with coupons versus working with a mass publisher because we're different. And, you know, I think that as the space sort of continues to evolve, because, you know, I've been in this space long enough when I remember when it was kind of like mostly coupons and a few publishers. Now it's like, kind of feels like every publisher and influencers, you know, really growing up to in this space for the past few years, you know, I think continuing to sort of keep eyes on that as it kind of expands. You know, I think there's also still a lot of like affiliate as a little bit maybe of like second fiddle and sort of like the overall digital marketing landscape. So kind of, you know, seeing that, watching that, you know, hopefully continue to grow. And, you know, seeing sort of affiliate and performance influence kind of in other areas. So anyway, I think maybe I'm sort of predicting like a bit of a broadening of the space, but I think that there will definitely be challenges because it's going to be, you know, probably more competition with different types of partners that are all very different. But I think there can also be a lot of like learnings and hopefully collaborations too, between, you know, some of the people more on the quote unquote publisher side. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. Yeah.
And what has been your favorite part of working in the performance marketing industry?
I think that I would say two things. One, great people. You know, love running into a lot of the same people at events and have made so many friends. You know, as I mentioned, I've been in the space like 10 years, so have made a lot of friends in this space. And, you know, that's been really, really nice. And then I think the other thing too is just like the type of model that it is where, you know, basically you succeed and the partner succeeds together, is a really fun type of partnership to be in. And, you know, I think that like, you know, thinking about publisher monetization, for example, like you can find an impression probably, if you have enough, audience on your site to serve an ad, but, you know, to actually see your content or your affiliate integrations, you know, having the influence to, you know, actually have people make purchases and, you know, the data around what brands, stores, products, people like, you know, I think all those things are just like really interesting and valuable and make, working in this space a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great place to wrap. A big thank you to Jackie Goldstein for joining the podcast this week. Really great insights into her background and how you can best work with New York Post. Jackie, what's the best way for listeners to connect with you?
Please reach out to me on LinkedIn. I am just Jackie Goldstein, and My LinkedIn has gotten a little hectic, but I'm usually better about responding to DMs there because it's a little lighter. But yes, LinkedIn is great, and I'm excited to hopefully make a couple of new connections in this space or beyond.
Amazing. Again, thank you to our guest, Jackie Goldstein, and to our producer, Leon Sonkin. If you've enjoyed this content, please give us a like and a follow. Thank you for listening in. I am Marshall Nyman, host of the Performance Marketing Spotlight and founder and CEO of Nyman & Co., signing off. Thank you and have a great day.